Can you see the pile of treasures there in the desert sand of the wilderness? I traveled in Egypt a year ago, and I had the privilege of being in the Cairo Museum and seeing some of the riches, the treasures of King Tut and some of the other Egyptian pharaohs. And when the children of Israel left Egypt, they left with collections of jewelry and nose rings and earrings and all the kinds of rings. And now suddenly all this glittering treasure was piled in a heap before Moses and the leaders of the children of Israel, as the people of God wanted to support in a strong, meaningful way the growth, the work of God, the tabernacle of God. You know, you and I give differently today. We give in nice, fine, little beige envelopes that we pick up from the back of our pew, and we write little checks and we stick them in the envelope, and it doesn't have the same glitter, it doesn't have the same sparkle to it, and is not as exciting as if you saw a big pile of jewels, you know. However, we still do receive some things. I have a ring here that I received not too long ago with a nice big diamond in the middle and eight little rubies around the side. And I was wondering what it would look like to have piles of these up front here as expressions of our love to the Lord and our support of where His work was going. When we look at the children of Israel and we look at their giving, we see the response, the liberality, the fact that they had to be told not to give anymore. I don't know about you, but I have yet to be told not to give the Lord anymore. Most of us have to be encouraged to give. But the children of Israel found it a restraint to be told not to give anymore. And there was something going on in their lives. Their liberality is a message to every reader of this particular passage of Scripture. And I've read it, and we've all read it, and we've mused in our minds in terms of what took place in our hearts and our lives that enabled them to come to the place where there was too much for the work of the Lord on earth. And all I could think of as I studied this passage is the fact that their liberality was tied to their willingness to give of their gifts, of their selves and their talents to the Lord. Right from the very beginning there in verse 4, it says, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Whoever is of a willing heart. And this theme of a willing heart is a reoccurring theme. The idea of willingness occurs over and over in different forms throughout these two chapters. And one gets the evident impression that not only does God want people to be willingly giving, but it is because people are willing that they give. And my mind has struggled with that idea of willingness, because it was their willingness that produced the liberality. It wasn't a command on God's part, but it was their willingness. And I've asked myself, what is willingness? And I've remembered some of my own struggles with paying telephone bills. I'm one of those ones that long-distance telephone bills and charges have always eaten away at my heart. And when my wife has run up the bill, I have complained. And when I have run up the bill, I've complained to myself. Until February, when my best friend died, and now in the last several months, my calling Janet on a regular basis and calling other members of the family, my telephone bill is sky high, more than I would like to admit on 1 or 2 months. But yet suddenly now I'm willing to pay for that telephone bill that I kind of struggled inside for before. And what is it that caused my wife, when a friend of hers was to come and visit, one of her best friends, a young divorcee with 3 children, not having funds of her own, and Kathy writes a check for half the airfare for her to come to visit. And even our boy Eric got excited about that, and he went up on Daddy's dresser and got 7 pennies, put them in a little envelope, and wrote Darlene on the outside, and put a stamp of Jesus up on the corner to help with Darlene's coming to visit us. What is it that creates the willingness to move us from the place where we are hesitant to give or would not give. In fact, I asked my wife this morning, would she be willing to pay half the airfare for somebody else to come visit? And the name that I pulled out was one that she said, well, anyway, you can put the picture together. Why is it that she would write the check for one person but not another? And all I can say is, in some way, what was going on before the children of Israel at that point, the work of the Lord appealed to their heart in a very dramatic and strong way. And it was that appeal to their heart that won the affections of their will and their emotions and their interests that caused them to give so willingly. Now, there's a story told of a church that was relating to its giving patterns. And they gathered together and they agreed on three things. First of all, it was agreed that everyone would give something. Number two, it was agreed that everyone would give according to their means. And thirdly, everyone would give willingly and happily. Then they chose someone to sit down and record all the giving that was taking place in the church. Aren't you glad we don't do that here in the Village Church? Someone sat down and everybody in the congregation passed by. And the recorder wrote down what they were giving. And then the richest person in the congregation came by and he put a coin down on the table. And the person recording looked over and he said, well, that's according to the first rule that all should give. But it's not according to the second rule that all should give according to their means. And that made the man angry and he took his coin back and he stuck it in his pocket and went off and sat in the corner of the church. And he watched others coming through, and then he came back and he put quite a bit more on the table. And he had a scowl on his face at this time. And the recorder said, well, that's according to the first rule, and it's according to the second rule, but not according to the third rule. You have an awful sorry look on your face. And as the story goes, he went back and he sat and he watched, and finally he started grinning, he started smiling, and he came and he gave an offering to the Lord's work according to his means, but it was willing. Now, we kind of laugh at that, and I chuckled at it myself when I read that, but then my mind went away to that passage in Matthew where it talks about the Father who sees in secret. And Jesus was talking about our giving, that we don't give in front of other people, but there is a Father who sees in secret. And there is no doubt in my mind but what that Father, the greatest thing that He wants to see is not the amount that we give, but that we are giving willingly. That there is joy and happiness in our heart in that process. And when I looked at what happened here with the children of Israel at this occasion, I questioned Moses. You know, there's no record here of Moses giving a big sermon appealing for the people to give. And as I studied this and it became clear to me, I began questioning myself whether I should even preach this sermon this morning. Because Moses simply held out the needs. He says, this is what the Lord says needs to be done. And then he simply said, I want you to go back to your tents and I want you to think about it. We see no matching. You know, if so-and-so gives 500, so-and-so will give 500. We see no bazaars being set up. We simply see Moses saying, go home and think about it. This is the needs of God's work right now. This is what God wants to take place in our church, our work right now. Go and think about it. Moses certainly was going against the normal pattern of collecting that we have been accustomed to seeing in our world today. In fact, my wife and I are in transition right now. We've moved out of our house and we are living in Merle Greenway's home while they are in England, while we are, quote, supposedly going to have a house finished being built. And as we have gone through this process, someone approached me. They understand that we're going to build a house or finish building a house. And so right away, they have an item that they would like in my house. And I spent about an hour with this individual this week. And towards the end of their little conversation with me, they said to me, would you feel comfortable putting your signature on this right now? And I hem-hawed around and said, I need to talk to my builder, and I want to talk to my wife. And in the next half hour, there was at least three other attempts to get my signature on something. He was striking while the iron was hot, as so he was thinking. He didn't realize that if what the information he was giving me was accurate and true, I would certainly do that in quiet reflection in the privacy of my own thoughts and life. And he wouldn't need any encouraging from me to sign. And so we see the children of Israel being left to go back, not being coerced, Moses not coming in while the iron was hot, but Moses simply saying, go home and think about it. And that reminds me of something that Paul said about all of us laying aside in store at home on a regular basis, that our commitment to the Lord is between ourselves and the Lord. And that's how it should be, because that's where all giving comes from, real giving. Three things stand out in my mind briefly. The children of Israel, they, as they went home and thought about it, they were able to think about what was needed. That was made clear to them. And then in their thinking processes, they also had an opportunity to think about what God had been doing for them. Certainly they could still hear the rattle of the armor of the Egyptians as they pursued them. They could still see the cloudy pillar overtopped them. They had remembered eating the manna that morning, and so there were many circumstances for them to remember about God and what God had been doing and who God was. And then, of course, they had an opportunity to survey realistically what they were able to give as an individual. Not all of them had acacia wood. Not all of them had gold. Not all of them had rings. Some of them had linen, and they brought what they had, and that's important. That's what the Scriptures is telling us. The Bible tells us, it implies that some did not give. Not everyone gave, only those who had a willing heart gave. And that tells me something. It tells me, first of all, that God doesn't need everyone. Although it would be nice that everyone be involved, and that would probably be what God would like, God does not need everyone for His church to move forward in strength. All He desires is the willing ones. And when I see in this passage what the willing ones brought, it was more than enough. That tells me that God, just like that potato patch, that God is able to take from willing hearts and expand and do some wonderful things with it. What do you say? What causes a woman who had been saving money for a summer wardrobe to put those monies for the repair of the flat roof here? What would cause a couple who are driving an older car to decide that they will continue to drive that older car and provide for the ministry needs of the church? What is it that would cause an individual to put off taking a trip in order that the church can be strong financially where they live? And as my mind wrestled with that, I could only come to conclusion that what the children of Israel did on that occasion, what they did was an act of worship. This passage tells me that all these contributions, these riches that they gave were to the Lord. And when you look in verse 21, they were to the Lord and for a tent, a tabernacle. If you read it in a modern translation, it says a tent of meeting. And that's inspiring to me. What really thrilled the hearts of the children of Israel, what really caused them to give freely, is the fact that they were going to meet God in a place, and that was God's place to be. It was a tent of meeting, and so what they were doing was an act of worship. I think of Mary. It was after she sat at the feet of Jesus and learned and worshipped, as it were, that she went out and broke that alabaster box over His feet and anointed His head with oil. It's in the setting of the Spirit's work in our lives, in the setting of God. Our fourth quarter Sabbath school lessons which you will be receiving by September. The whole quarter is on the subject of stewardship, and I've been reading through that. And there's a little step on the first lesson that, and a question that says, on what step are you in the giving process? The first step is giving reluctantly to projects. The project being a roof or a sanctuary, or it could be the combined budget. Whatever it is, it's a project in your mind. The second step is willingly giving to a project. The third step is planned giving to a project. The fourth step is a very interesting step. Planned giving to God. Separating the idea of giving from a project or a church or an event to a relationship with a person. And I think that's what we find happening here with the children of Israel. It had to do with where they were with God and that tent of meeting. I have a letter here that I want to share with you. I shared it with those that lingered to the last in our business meeting the other night. It's a letter from a non-Adventist Christian or a growing Christian. She's actively involved in a Bible study group at this time. And she says, I believe I've finally started to let the Holy Spirit talk to me, and I just wanted to tell you. That enough warmed my heart. Could you say amen to that? I finally allowed the Holy Spirit to talk to my heart. And then at the end of the letter, she says, I've enclosed a check, and this check is for $200. She says, I've enclosed a check for you to use as you see fit. I don't at the moment belong to any church, so I thought you could find the right place to use this money. The work of the Holy Spirit on our hearts. When the love of Jesus swells us and we know that we're forgiven, we know that we're redeemed, and we know that this is His work, is what moves us forward and causes liberality in our lives. And so as we look at the needs of our church, go home and think it over.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.